The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 35. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on September 22, 2014, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate. Te Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Nuvacha Asangshayam Mahabaho Mana Dunigraham Shalam Yabhyasena Tu Kunteya Vairagyena Sha Griyate Shri Bhagavan Vacha Asangshayang Mahabaho Manur Dunigraham Shalam Abhyasena Tukoncheya Vairagyena Chagrihyate Sri Bhagavan Vacha Asangshayang Mahabaho Manodur Nigraham Shalam Abhyasena Tukoncheya Vairagyena Chagrihyate Shri Bhagavan Nuvacha. The Personality of Godhead said, Asangshayam, undoubtedly, Mahabaho, O Mighty Armed One, Mana, the mind, Dunigraham, difficult to curb, Shalam, flickering, Abhyasena, by practice, to, but, Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Vairagyena, by detachment, sha, also, griyate, can be so controlled. Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Purport. The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind is expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he suggests that by practice and detachment, it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules and regulations of placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the supersoul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to the activities of Krishna. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called pareshanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharging of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind. And eating the foodstuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness. Wow. What a sublime way to get free from Maya. Hear about Krishna and take prasad. Very, very nice thing. This Prabhupada emphasizes hearing about Krishna here in this purport. The more you hear about Krishna, the more you become attached to Krishna. Why is that? Why is it that the more you hear about Krishna, the more you become attached to Krishna? It obviously could not be something artificial being imposed upon you. Because the nature of the soul is to love God, to love Krishna. Krishna is our dearmost friend. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. Actually, each one of us has an internal identity, a svarupa, a certain unique relationship with Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. We have forgotten it because we were foolishly, stupidly envious of Krishna. So we've forgotten it for the time being, but by hearing about Krishna more and more and more and more, guess what happens? You come out of the amnesia and you start to remember, yes, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And that day will come, you actually remember who exactly you are. That's the liberated stage. Actually, that happens, Prabhupada explains, at the Asakti stage, you actually realize who you are in Krishna's pastimes at the Asakti. Of course, that's way beyond us neophytes at the present time. But we can work towards that by hearing about Krishna as much as you possibly can. Well, what if nobody's talking about Krishna? Then how am I going to hear about him? Well, you can chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can put on a lecture, you're about Krishna. Or you can have a kirtan. Keep yourself always absorbed in Krishna Smaranam 24 hours. I remember a few years ago here in Vrindavan, I was going through the Veda base and I found a wonderful letter that Prabhupada wrote to a couple of Japanese boys. He told them to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, literally. He said, when you're taking your bath, you can chant Hare Krishna. When you're walking down the street, you can chant Hare Krishna. When you're riding the bus, you can chant Hare Krishna. He wasn't obviously talking about japa, because you wouldn't chant japa in the shower. You know? Prabhupada was talking about on the beads and off the beads, both. Keep the mantra going as much as possible, 24 hours a day. Now, I was thinking, my mind said, no, no, Sankarshan Das, don't you dare get in. No, come on, I've done my 16 rounds austerity, now you have to let me space out the rest of the day. My mind didn't like this idea, you see. But I had to negotiate with my mind and said, wait a minute, mind, Prabhupada knows better than you. So I think you have to learn something, mind, and just be quiet and shut up. And, you know, I'm going to at least chant a few extra mantras today beyond my 16 rounds. And it's really, just try it. Try squeezing in a few extra mantras when you're taking that bucket and pouring the water over your head, or, you know, you're walking down the street on the way to Mangalarti. On the beads, not the only on your beads you can chant Hare Krishna. 16 rounds on the beads, but you can chant off the beads as well. You know, so try squeezing in a few extra mantras, because what's happening, you see, means you're hearing about Krishna. And the more you hear about Krishna, gradually, all this crud, which is clouding your ability to realize who you are eternally in Krishna's pastimes, this crud is just being washed away. Slowly, you're getting closer and closer to home, back to home, back to Godhead. Actually, it's already here. Back to home, back to God is always already present. Krishna's within your heart. He's already present. So you just have to clean your heart out. It's really all you have to do. Heart cleaning program. By hearing. So Krishna nama chaditari satap yavidya. Pito patasya rasya natsa narochi kanu. Kent vandana nanarinang kalishai varushra. Sadika madbabiti tadgalamula hantri. This is very nicely explained in the Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction. This describes our present position. The holy name, character, activities, etc. of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. But for one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, you see, they are bitter. They taste bitter. But if one will, Rupa Goswami gives very nice advice. He says if you will carefully, Prabhupada translated in his translation, Prabhupada says carefully, note the word carefully. Remember this every time you chant your rounds, especially, remember the word Prabhupada translated from Rupa Goswami, carefully, with care, you see. This is like you're handling a baby, you know. You've got to be careful, right? So you're handling your own spiritual life. When you chant your japa, you're handling your spiritual life. It's a very delicate thing, you see. So if you will chant carefully these simply wonderful names, these wonderfully sweet names every day, then Rupa Goswami guarantees, you see, that a natural taste will awaken within your tongue, and this disease of avidya, this jaundice-like state known as avidya, will be destroyed at the root. You see, not at the surface, but uprooted, you see. You see, there's in the Vedic system, there's what's called a prayaschitta, atonement. You just superficially get free, you see. I did some sin, so I do some atonement to free myself from the reaction to that sin. But I haven't freed myself from the tendency to commit sin. So what good is my atonement? It's like that hati snan, you know. The elephant, he takes a very nice bath, and he gets out of the water. What does he do to dry off? Does he get a towel? No. He rolls in the dirt. Is he? So this prayaschitta atonement system, it is not a very good system. And we're not interested in such things. We want to uproot the tendency to engage in sense gratification from our hearts by hearing about Krishna, developing attachment for Krishna, love for Krishna. You see, you want to love Krishna. He's a person. He's not a concept. He's a person. He's the most real person. He's present everywhere. He's providing everything. He's the most loving, kind-hearted, generous person in all of existence. And he's your number one best friend. So how I can neglect him? You see? How can I go on lifetime after lifetime neglecting this person. It's an offense. You see. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we get the opportunity to give up this foolish state, insane state, you see, and come back to actually developing a loving feeling, a loving relationship for this amazing person who's standing on the bank of Keshiga and playing the fifth note on his flute in the full moon light of the Sarat season, attracting the gopis. He's so attractive, really, you know. He's so attractive. One of the gopis had to mourn her gopi girlfriend. Smaran bangi trayapachitam sachivishtirna drishting vangsi nasta kishalayam ujjadam chandakena govindakyam hanitannumitaha keshi tirutupakante ma prakshishtasta dayavi sake bandhu stangisti rangaha. My dear gopi girlfriend, if you have any desire to go on enjoying in this world society, friendship and love, then don't you dare get anywhere near Keshiga tonight. As you get down there in Keshiga, you're going to see this beautiful boy, this smiling boy named Govinda. And he's smiling so sweetly. And he's putting his flute to his lips, which are just like newly blossomed twigs, his transcendental body bending in three places, is shining, oh, so bright in the moonlight. So don't you dare get near there. Don't you dare get near there, you see. So we want to run the Keshiga and see Krishna, you see. We want to come to that state where we can actually see Krishna. Prabhupada ordered me. I always say this because I'm still working on it. I haven't gotten there yet. Prabhupada directly ordered me. He said, now you qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada, I'm begging for the mercy. I can follow your instruction. I'm begging for it. I want to see Krishna. I want to see him. You ordered me, and I want to carry out your order, Prabhupada. I haven't done it yet. I'm begging for your mercy. That day will come when I will see Krishna. You see? Because I know he's there. But I'm just so full of faults, so many faults, so many horrible demoniac faults. I can't see Krishna. I just see what's out there for my sense enjoyment. You see? That's a disease, you see, material consciousness. What's out there for my sense gratification? You see? Not how can I, what's out there for engaging in Krishna's service, you see? That's the vision we have to develop, you see. How can I engage this in the service of Krishna, you see? We don't deny this material world, you see. Anasaktasya vishyan yatartma bayunjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagam uchite prapanchakitaya bujahari sambandhi vastanaha mamukshavi parityago phagu vairagyam katyate. When a person is not attached to anything, but is very eager to engage everything in the service of Krishna, he is properly situated in renunciation. But a person who says, oh, it's all maya, it's maya, it's maya, you see, who artificially renounces everything, not seeing its relationship with Krishna, he's called phagu vairagi. He's a false renunciate. Note the word Phagu. There's a river in India called Phagu. Any of you gone to the Phagu River? Anyone gone to the Phagu? If you go to see the Phagu, you can go to where the Phagu is, but you won't see it. It's an underground river, you see. So this river has been an underground river for a long time. So it's right there in the scriptures. Thousands of years old underground river. So Phagu Vairagi means on the surface he's very renounced, but on the inside he's full of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. He's not really renounced, you see. So the person who makes a big show of renunciation, you know, actually he's just full of lust. He wants name and fame for being a renunciate, you see. But that person who sees everything in relation with Krishna, and because he loves Krishna so much, He wants to see that everything is used in the service of Krishna. You see, he is the real renunciant. So we saw such a great personality. Those of us were very fortunate. We got to actually see Prabhupada and associate with Srila Prabhupada. This amazing person who had nothing but love for Krishna in his heart. That's all he had, love for Krishna and love for all of us as the parts and parcels of Krishna. He knew that Krishna was suffering in our separation. He wanted to bring us back to Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. So we have to be very, very dedicated to hearing about Krishna. Where is there an opportunity to hear about Krishna, to chant Hare Krishna, to serve Krishna, you see? At every minute, how can I fill my life up with Krishna Katha? Much chata man gata prana bodhayan parasparam katayan tashjamam nityam tashyan tachavraman tacha. What does the shloka say? They enjoy like anything, you see. Ramanti, they enjoy like anything. They taste the nectar, you see. So you want the nectar? Just keep talking about Krishna. There's so many things you can say about him. You see, there's unlimited things to say about Krishna. Because his glories are unlimited. There's no way you can ever run out of things to say. You see? Then in the Senate, U.S. Senate, sometimes they do a filibuster where they, you know, try to keep the whole of the Senate floor so nobody else can speak. There's a law, the rule of the Senate allows them to keep their speech going. And they, you know, they get out the phone book and read names and phone numbers to keep. But actually, if they were to talk about Krishna, they wouldn't have to worry. They could go on talking 24 hours a day about Krishna. Because there's unlimited things to say about him, you see. If they asked me to talk about Krishna, well, we could be here for 20 years, you see. If my throat didn't wear out and I didn't get tired and sleepy and hungry. But the topic of Krishna is so unlimited. There's no way you can ever exhaust the topic. And it never gets boring because the deeper you get into it, the sweeter it gets. You see? Krishna is sweeter than the sweetest honey. And the more you talk about Krishna, the sweeter he gets. Sweeter, 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 sweeter. Madharang, madharang, vaparasham vidhor. Madhurang, madhurang, vadanang, madhuram. Amadugandhi, mridaspritam, metad, aho. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. This is a very nice verse describing Krishna's sweetness. Very, very nice verse. Madhuram. You see, sweet, 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 sweet. The transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet. And his face, oh, his face, it is sweeter still. But his soft, honey-scented smile is the ultimate sweetness thrill. So we just have to fall in love with Krishna, you see. You don't need a boy or a girlfriend. You just need Krishna. You see, that's how somebody can be a brahmachari and not be frustrated. Son, it's amazing. How can you be a brahmachari and not have a girlfriend? Aren't you frustrated? You see? But no, you don't need a girlfriend. Krishna's more beautiful than all the girls in the whole world put together. All these beautiful girls, there's nothing compared. All their beauty comes from Krishna. You see? Krishna is the most beautiful. Therefore, he is called Krishna, all attractive. Nobody can compete with Krishna, you see. Angani yasya sakalendrita vritriya vritti manti pasyanti panti kalayanti charanjaganti ananda chinmaya sadodzvala vigrahasya govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. It's not each one of the limbs itself, it's each one of the limbs himself, because each one of his limbs is he himself. That's how, with each and every one of his limbs, he can manifest the unlimited universes, both spiritual and mundane. So just consider that form, you see. That form which is endless, Brahmaji describes. And everything exists within the form of Krishna, but yet he's existing within all of this, standing in the Mankakeshika, blowing the fifth note on the flute, you see. I mean, this person has got to be amazing. We're actually all existing within Krishna. You can't get outside of Krishna because he's expanded himself as everything. It's all his energy. There's the original Krishna, and the expanded Krishna is his energy, you see. We're actually existing within Krishna at every minute, but we're so dull we don't realize it. We're thinking, yeah, this is India or Texas or Bulgaria or, you know, something like that. We're an illusion. We're in a state of illusion. We don't realize we're in Krishna right now. We're in within Krishna. This, everything is his manifested energy. So it's time to wake up. Get out of the sleep of Maya. Why are we torturing ourselves like this? It's crazy. It's stupid. It's insane. You see? Why be depressed when you can be impressed with Krishna, you see? Many people, they suffer from depression. They take drugs now for depression. We have a drug for depression. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. So the more you become impressed with Krishna, the less you become depressed by this material existence, you see. Because this material existence is more or less of a dream. I mean, it's real, but it's not what it appears to be. I mean, you say, well, how does that work anyway? It's real, and it's a dream. Suddenly we hear both things. Prabhupada says both things. Well, it is. A dream is also has reality. The man dreams of some woman. He wakes up. Wow, I passed the semen in my sleep. That dream had some reality to it, you see. But this dream of material existence is not. It's real, but it's a dream in the sense that it's not that what it appears to be, you see. It's like somebody up in Anchorage, Alaska, in the middle of the winter. It's very cold outside, you see. There's no daylight at all. It's 24 hours of darkness. They go down to the cinema to catch the movie Blue Lagoon about the Fiji, you know, being in Fiji. And there's a blizzard outside, you know, 20 feet of snow, and they're sitting and go, oh, wow, Fiji, the Blue Lagoon, you know, the frangipani flowers going everywhere, and the guy's playing the ukuleles, and they're just going, oh, this is so nice. And they feel like they're in Fiji, you know. And then the movie's over. Oh, I'm in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm going to go out and make my way through the blizzard to get home, you see. So was that movie real? Sure. Was it what it appeared to be? No. It's real. There was a real projector, there was a real film, there was a real little thing, you know, frames going through the thing, there was real images being cast on a real screen, but it wasn't what it appeared to be. So this material world is real, you see. There's a big screen here called the Mahatattva, and I was watching this movie thinking that this is really it, you see. But it's just a movie. It's just a movie. It's not to facilitate those who want to think they're the enjoyers. They're given this illusion that you actually are the center of the universe, sir. You want it to be okay. Here's the illusion. You see? Just like one time in the grocery store, you know, they have a little, I don't know if they have it in India, but in the Western countries, they have a little conveyor belt. When you go to check out, you put your groceries, you know, and it moves up on the conveyor belt. So one little kid, he was... He saw the thing moving and started, the conveyor belt was starting and stopping, and he's thinking, well, how's this work? And he tapped on it to see if he could get it to move, you know, tap, tap again. So the cashier thought she'd have fun with the kid, you know. Every time the kid would tap, he would make the conveyor belt. So the kid thought he was making the conveyor belt and start and stop, you see. So this is what Krishna does. We're like little kids and then playing with a conveyor belt. That's what our position is like, you know. He gives us the illusion. You want to think you're the controller? Okay. You know, go ahead. I'll let you think you're the controller here. Go ahead, play with it. Think you're the controller of it. Yeah, Krishna does that, you see. But that's not the reality. The reality is the cashier was controlling the conveyor belt, like the little kid, is he? The reality is this material nature is going on under the supervision of Durga Devi, who's doing it as a service to Krishna. This is described also. Shastishtati palaya saddana shaktareka shayesha bhavanani vibharti durga ichchanna rupam abhyashyatate state sa govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The external potency, Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. So this whole thing is going on. Durga Devi is conducting this whole thing here under Krishna's instruction. That's all. Because we wanted to have this idea that we were the controllers. Okay, I'll create a situation where you think you're the controller, you see. But if you're fortunate to realize, hey, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem right, you know. When I was a kid in college, I remember my freshman year, I was making good grades studying at Harvard. I was thinking, what is the purpose of all of this? You know, here I am working hard to make good grades, to get a good degree, to get a good job, to get a good wife, to get a good house, to get a good kids, a good car, and a really good coffin, you know, a velvet-lined coffin, buried 6 feet under, with some really good flowers on my grave once a year until they forget about me. What's the purpose of all this, you see? It doesn't make sense. Life couldn't be so cruel. I mean, flowers are too beautiful, you know. I mean, God couldn't be that mean and nasty when flowers are so beautiful, you know what I mean? A sunrise is too beautiful. I mean, God couldn't be that nasty, you know. It has to be better than this. So, you know, that set me off on my search, which led me to the lotus feet of the most wonderful spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paripajakacharanja Astatarasadashi Srimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. So now I can ask you some questions. In the beginning of the class, you mentioned how in the state of Ashakti, one becomes attached to Krishna, but you said that you are not in that stage. Now many of senior devotees also say like that. Is it because of humility? Or are there devotees in our society who are not in that stage or above? Actually, if you study Prabhupada would sometimes say, I'm not a pure devotee. He said, I'm not perfect. He said that my perfection is I'm repeating what I have heard from the perfect. You see? So actually, when one advances more in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't advertise, oh, guess what, Prabhu, I got a sakti last night. Or, you know, I hit bhava this morning after breakfast prasad. No. One who is actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, he always presents himself very meekly and humbly as a struggling. I remember our dear godbrother, you know, famous as the Jali Swami, Sridhar Swami. He told one story how when he got initiated, he was completely in a state of, oh, here I'm in front of Jagad Guru, the spiritual master. He was like completely in a state of awe, and somebody tapped him and said, Prabhupada's talking to you. And Prabhupada was saying something to him, but he was so much in awe he couldn't hear Prabhupada talking to him. So someone tapped, Prabhu, Prabhupada's talking to you. He looked at Prabhupada and said, so you're a brahmachari? And he was thinking, Prabhupada blessed me that I can stay brahmachari. And he did. He was very fixed up. I mean, just, if you ever met Sridhar Swami, he's amazing. I mean, he's so full of bliss. I mean, he was just overflowing with joy. And even in the last days, when his body was swollen with all these fluids, it was horrible. He had all these toxins. His whole body, his belly swelled up. He had all these toxins in his body. They had to cut his body to get the. It was horrible. The doctor was there looking at this horrible situation he's in. All the devotees there feeling so sorry for him. And he said, "Doc, it's a boy." So everybody was depressed, but he enlivened everybody. He was such an advanced devotee. But I remember he said, describing, here, I made a brahmachari. He said, "Here I am, still struggling." He was such an advanced devotee, but he presented himself as a struggling neophyte, you see. So somebody says, "You know, Prabhu, I'm pretty advanced. Maybe prema next week, you know." I mean, you know, this is called sahajism. Those who are actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, they always feel very, very low, meek, humble, struggling. Prabhupada says that a liberated soul does not present himself as such. He strictly follows sadhana bhakti. He says right there in the books. So, if you really want to know somebody's level, you have to become self-realized. Because those who actually achieve high levels of Krishna consciousness, they don't reveal it. Those who advertise it, beware. Yeah, I'm at Baba Prabhu. Beware of people who advertise their position like that. Beware of them. They're called sahajas. Yeah.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Spiritual life is not a mechanistic process.
Not a what?
Not a mechanistic.
That's
process.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. It's not that you all of a sudden you finish one stage and then you go to the next stage and then you finish that and you go to the next stage.
Yeah.
Prabhupada gave us the whole package and everything gets developed on the way. You get a little bit of each stage developing as you go along.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
there's it. A neophyte devotee can feel a certain type of bhava also. I've seen a devotee who was just crying in the kirtan like a baby. He couldn't stop crying. And then way back in 1971 at the Ratha Yatra festival, he was crying like a baby. So you can feel emotions, all these things that you're there, but they gradually become purified. Attachment, bhava. You know, the Prabhupada even said that all of my disciples are pure devotees. A certain level of purity is there. So, it's a fact. Those things are actually there, and they gradually manifest. Of course, the stages are there also. So both things are true. Both things are true. It's a little discouraging that we cannot become attached to Krishna in this life. Now, wait a minute. You can. Prabhupada explains very clearly in the why only a sakti you can achieve the prema stage in this lifetime. Prabhupada says in the part of the Bhagavatam talking about Prithu Maharaj that even this very body you can become a fully liberated soul. I mean, I'm convinced that it's possible and I'm shooting for it. Prabhupada told me I can see Krishna face to face and I'm praying for that because I want to achieve that stage and I know it can be done. So to say it can't be done, would Prabhupada tell me something that can't be done? He said, "I don't accept this. I don't accept this thing because Prabhupada would not tell me something that was impossible to do. He's not a cruel spiritual master. Give me some impossible order." He said, "Impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. That means I can't see Krishna in this lifetime." Even he gives the story of one thief who saw Krishna. I think I told the other day in the class. This thief wanted to steal Krishna's jewels. He came to Vrindavan simply to find this little boy so he could take all the jewels. And he actually saw Krishna and became a pure devotee. His only desire was to steal the jewels. So if he can see Krishna become a pure devotee, then anybody who's sincerely trying to become a pure devotee can certainly become a pure devotee and see Krishna in this lifetime. Any more questions? But actually, Prabhupada said that the desire to see Krishna is as good as seeing Krishna. If one is hankering to see Krishna, that's just as good as seeing Him. And he also said that being dedicated to the order of your spiritual master is also as good as seeing Krishna. So even if one cannot see Krishna in this lifetime, if he is always desiring to come to that perfectional stage and he's totally dedicated to his spiritual master, he's as good as seeing Krishna at every minute. That's a fact. Any other question? One coming here. Okay. I told my disciples, a little anxiety, Gurudev, you're saying you haven't seen Krishna? They're a little worried, you know. I said, well, you wouldn't really know. I could be humble, or I could be telling the truth. You don't really know. That's what I told them. What if one has a higher taste for serving devotees and guru, but less taste for hearing? Well, I have good news for you. This is Bhagavatam's good news. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. I don't have any taste for hearing, but I love serving devotees. You're in great shape. You're in great shape. Just keep serving those devotees, serving your guru, serving the Vaishnavas, and you're going to get to the taste will come. It will come. It definitely will come. Guaranteed by the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any other question? How to create loving relationships between devotees? Actually, you don't have to create them. They're already there. We just have to manifest them. Beneath all this lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy we're carrying in our hearts right now, we have love, pure love for Krishna and pure love for Krishna's devotees. It's already there. So there's two levels. There's devotional service in practice, and there's devotional service in full realization and perfection. So right now we may not always feel that love for the devotees. We may sometimes hate some devotees. It happens sometimes. We get angry. We have grudges, you know. But just forget all that stuff. Just say, okay, I'm going to act on the platform of duty. I'm going to serve the devotees. I'm going to try to please the devotees out of duty. Just like I have no taste for chanting, but I do it out of duty. I may not have any taste for serving devotees also, but I do that out of duty. Let me dutifully serve them, because this is how I will become liberated from all of my distress and anxieties. So if one goes on doing that, and just like you may not have any some little kids trying to learn how to play the violin, and it's horrible. You got to close the door when he practices. It's so horrible, you see. But then a few years later, it's so beautiful. He's, you know, he plays so beautifully. Wow, you see. So right now we're like little kids trying to learn how to play the violin. It's like, my God. This devotee, you know, he doesn't know how to do anything. He's a bumbling idiot, but at least he's trying, you know. So, you know, that we have to go through that. Some of us are not so, don't join this movement on such an advanced level, you know. And we come off the platform being, you know, really crazy, lazy nutcases when we join in the movement, you know. But Prabhupada is very merciful. I mean, what he tolerated is just unbelievable. What Prabhupada tolerated, what he put up with. I was talking with our Achyutananda, the former Achyutananda Swami, a few weeks ago on the telephone. He told me that they shared the same towel with Prabhupada at 22nd Avenue. Can you imagine? There was only one towel for the whole temple. Oh my God. They went up to Prabhupada's shower in the bathroom to take shower, and they all shared Prabhupada's towel. Can you imagine the early days of ISKCON? What Prabhupada tolerated and went. I can't imagine if I had to share my towel with my disciples. Oh my God. But Prabhupada was so kind. I mean, what he went through. All those letters he wrote. Just look at those letters. I mean, there was so much love. Every letter he wrote was just overflowing with love. I mean, amazing. I have about 10 letters, my greatest treasure of my life, about 10 letters I got from Prabhupada. I mean, he was so kind. He was so merciful. Just like when I joined ISKCON, anybody could write Prabhupada they wanted to. It was open. And I hadn't done it, but I had a question. I asked my leader, Vishnu Janaswamy, a question. He said, "I don't know, why don't you write Prabhupada?" And so I did. But then there was a new policy because Prabhupada was getting overwhelmed. There were so many devotees joining. He had no time to answer these letters and write his books at the same time. You know, it was getting hard. So he made a new policy, you know, from now on, the temple presidents, the sannyasis, and the GBCs can write. And the devotees, they should ask their temple president, their GBC, and the sannyasis. And that was the new system. But I had gotten a few letters already from Prabhupada, and I really felt, I was always doubtful. These temple presidents, GBCs, and the sannyasis really know that well what they're talking about. They were all new devotees also in those days. They really know perfectly what they're talking about. Being a little bit of a radical, or you say a rebel, I guess you would say, I wrote Prabhupada anyway. And I didn't put my name on the return address. So it hopefully get through the security, you know. And it did. And Prabhupada answered it. He was so kind. Prabhupada actually said that he told me about the new policy, you know. He asked, you know, I didn't have any time for my writing, like that. But then he was so kind. He was so kind to me. He said, "But if any of my disciples have an urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples." So I had a loophole from Prabhupada. If I had an urgent need, I could write him. I didn't have to worry about the policy. I had a direct loophole directly from Prabhupada himself. I could write him if I needed to. And I did a few more times. But finally, I got to the point where I didn't need it. I got, you know, made a little advancement. And I felt happy. I didn't feel that need. I had to write him personally more because I felt a stronger connection now with my heart with him. But Prabhupada helped me. He gave me that concession. And I could see the kindness of Srila Prabhupada, you see. And it wasn't just to me. I mean, he had that unlimited kindness with thousands and thousands of young boys and girls who were coming out of the hippie culture. I mean, we were weird. We were weird people. Coming off of LSD and marijuana and, you know, free love. And we were pretty messed up characters. But Prabhupada accepted us, and he was so kind to us. And he taught us how to become devotees. I mean, it was just amazing, the kindness and compassion of Srila Prabhupada. So if you remember Prabhupada's kindness and compassion, that if it wasn't for his kindness and compassion, you'd be going to the animal kingdom right now. You see, if you remember this, say, "Well, I have to, you know, let me also be kind and compassionate. As Prabhupada was kind and compassionate, let me also be kind and compassionate." If devotees can remember Prabhupada's kindness and compassion, there'll be no more problems in our society of relationships, I guarantee you. Therefore, this Prabhupada Smaranam is very important activity in our movement. So I think we're 10 minutes over time, and we can... any last question? Or I think that's probably a good stopping point. It's a good to end on Prabhupada is a very good stopping point because Prabhupada holds this whole movement together. It's by his grace that we're all here together tonight. It's by his grace that we can realize Krishna. So all we can do is thank him. Our dear Srila Prabhupada, thank you very much for your loving mercy upon us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.